Good morning. Today we will continue in our series, Community, Unity in the Body of Christ, and we will study the Apostle Paul's letter to the Church of Ephesus. I'm going to place our emphasis and focus today on chapter 4. Now, a little background about that letter. Paul was describing the nature of the church in that letter. And the purpose was to strengthen the believers in Ephesus and the other churches in the region. The apostle loved this church. He spent 3 years there teaching and preaching. And what's interesting about this letter is that it's a little different from most of the other communications that he sent to the churches. This particular letter was not written to address any specific problems or concerns in the church. It was merely written to encourage them. So we're going to read a portion of the scripture, and I want that to be our attitudes this morning. Let this be received as a point of encouragement, and let us submit our hearts to the word as we hear from the apostle this morning. We're going to be reading from the Pew Bible, and it will also be reflected on the screen if you'd like to follow along. Starting at verse 1, chapter 4, Ephesians. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to be the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore, it was said, when he ascended on high, he made himself captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful schemes. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Will you pray with me, please? Father God, we've heard your word. Let us now, in these next few minutes, submit ourselves to that word that we may grow in the unity and in maturity and into the fullness that you've called. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you. And I say this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I'd like to take a few minutes to speak on the topic of messy community. In this letter that Paul has given us, his intent was to encourage and to spur us on in what he described as one body, one spirit, where God is Father over, in, and through all of us. If that is the case, if that is the call, if that is what he has asked us to do, then I think we need some practical methods or tools on how we can achieve this type of unity. Now, the early church, much like Pathways, was rich in racial, socioeconomic, gender, and age diversity. But still, the apostle said, they, like us, are to have unity in the midst of that very diversity through the Spirit and in their commitment to Christ. Paul reminded them and us by the extension in this passage, that through the Spirit, we are encouraged to use our gifts to serve one another, to build each other up. And as we do this, we will mature and hold ourselves and each other to a higher moral standing, rejecting the culture and embracing a biblical worldview. And the third thing, and I believe that this is the most challenging part, that we as the family of God learn to submit and prefer one another in love. So, what does this mean? What does this look like? In this letter, which I encourage you to read in its entirety this week, Paul explains all the wonderful gifts that we receive through Christ. And by this, he means spiritual gifts. He's given us teachers and prophets and pastors and etc. And he also refers to the church as a body in this letter. He calls it also a temple, a bride, a soldier. All of these illustrations that we're given, we see that individual members of the body are called to something larger. We are individuals, but we are still called to be a part of something larger. We're called to be unified to one another. So how do we accomplish that purpose? Well, you may ask, what is the purpose? Well, our purpose is not to be a little cozy country club here in Gaithersburg. We're not supposed to just sit and cater to each other and love one each other and sing a few songs and then go home and watch the football game. Our purpose, our calling, is to be one unit, one body that is on mission to reach a lost and hurting world in the name of Jesus Christ. And I would certainly be remiss if I didn't mention just this past week of all the people that are hurting all around the world, in Puerto Rico and in Mexico in particular. And we need to bind our hearts and be in prayer for the people who are suffering in those parts of the world. And more than that, we need to figure out how we can be Christ's hands and feet in those situations. With that said, this is why the scriptures teach us that we're to be different. And it also teaches that the world will know us by those differences. Our love for each other is supposed to look different. It's supposed to make us act different. And it's supposed to make us work together in unison. And that's what attracts other people to Christ. If all the different parts of the body are healthy and in good working order, then the entire body is healthy. But let's say you have a stomach ache or you smash your finger. If one part of the body is hurting or broken or not functioning, it impacts the entire body. Each individual part of the body must be in healthy working order for the body to run efficiently and effectively. So what's that mean? It means that each of us have a responsibility to the rest of us to remove whatever barriers that are in our lives that hinder us from experiencing unity in the body, which is Pathways. Areas like gossip or having a critical spirit jealousy, anger, bitterness. These things and many others make it difficult to join together as a family. The world should be able to see a difference in how Christians and non-Christians live. Followers of Christ can leave behind the things that hold us back, the old self, the sin nature. Sure, it's a process, but we have new life in Christ, and it's possible because of his sacrifice on the cross that we can live differently. Now, hear me when I say it's not automatic. We won't just wake up in the morning and think all good new thoughts and express all the right attitudes. In fact, to be perfectly honest, to come under submission to Christ and follow him is hard work. It takes a willing heart, one that recognizes, first of all, that there's sin that needs to be dealt with. It takes humility to pray to the Lord to search your heart and remove anything that's unpleasing to him and that's offensive. And it takes courage. It takes courage to listen to what the Lord says and to make the changes, to want to make the changes. And it takes time and his power. It's not something that you can change and manage alone. But you know, family, when you've decided to make the once and for all decision to accept Christ's gift of salvation and also make the daily conscious commitment to submit your will and your life to Christ, you can, with the help of the Holy Spirit, put your past in the past and move forward. And someone needs to say amen to that. Family, we have an enormous responsibility. We are commanded to make disciples of every nation, and that requires a lot of work. It involves preaching and teaching, and it takes hospitality and administration and healing and giving and nurturing and many, many, many other tasks. And if we had to do this individually, then we might as well give up because it wouldn't be possible. But thank God we have each other. We have the body, one body. We have pathways. And we can do more together than we ever could have done alone. If we are all healthy, working together, and doing our part. So how do we build each other up so that we can be unified in our faith and mature in Christ and different than the world? Well, I'd like to make some suggestions, and if you are a note taker, you can certainly use your worship folder to take some notes. I would suggest the first thing that we have to do is remove barriers that we've erected to reach the unity that the Apostle Paul is speaking about. So the first thing I think that we would need to do is reject the idea of iChurch. Christians today have no problem disengaging from the local church and opting for a me and Jesus kind of faith. Yeah, on occasion, our paths cross and overlap. If it's not too inconvenient or if there's nothing better to do, we are so radically individualistic, and it's so easy for us to leave and withdraw rather than to stay and grow up when things become hard and uncomfortable at church. It's easier to talk about our personal relationship with Christ rather than talk about how our individual needs and identity need to take a back seat to the corporate health of our faith community. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on. The second thing that I would suggest is, you know, the little tag in clothes sometimes that say one size fits all. And most of the time it doesn't, because it's usually something about this big and it says one size fits all. Well, I'd like to suggest to you this morning that one size actually does fit all. Individualism causes us to think of church in terms of fit. Does the worship fit me? How about the preaching? Does the demographics or the values fit my preferences and personality? This thinking and or approach puts the burden on the church to adapt or perform to our liking if it wants to have the pleasure of keeping us around. But what if that's backwards thinking? What if the biblical approach is actually the other way around? What if we should fit ourselves into the mission and life of the church? What if we are supposed to adapt ourselves to the body of Christ, filling in the gaps where needed? What if it means that we are the ones that are supposed to change? We can't rely on our own understanding. The Holy Spirit can and will give you a role in the church and a new way of thinking about the church. He can and will give us all a love for each other, and he can bind our hearts and minds together to grow a vibrant and beautiful community of faith. Because it's a part of the calling that we've received. And that's a life worthy. The third thing that I'd like to suggest is that the truth and love go hand in hand. As members of the same body, we shouldn't deceive each other. We cannot defraud each other through lies or attempts to hide things about ourselves out of shame or in an effort to manage our image. Since we're one body, intended for the same purpose, united by the same love, we should be characterized by honesty. Those who love speak the truth in love, because its dishonesty is unloving and abusive. In practice, family, church is messy. The body's messy. Pathways is messy. To tear down barriers that prevent unity is hard work. But I'd like to suggest some principles that could be helpful in guiding us forward. Understand each of these values themselves carry its own measure of messiness and discomfort. But the Bible is clear that that's what we're called to. The first is that we have to share our stuff. Actually, I can commend Pathways for this. It's something that you do pretty well. I've, in the past 20 months, been pretty awed by the acts of generosity that I've witnessed and experienced here. Whether it's been someone in need of financial help or a place to sleep, I've seen this church live very counterculture. The culture says, my stuff is my stuff. But I've not experienced that here. You share your stuff well. The second thing that I would suggest, which may be a little bit more difficult, is to share your hearts with one another. Sharing your heart requires vulnerability and openness, and that too is countercultural. Especially if that involves confessing sin. The third thing, and we touched on it earlier, is to just stick around, embrace the pain, and grow together. And this is the really, really hard one. Sticking around and embracing the pain is definitely countercultural. Our world encourages people to ditch relationships that are difficult or inconvenient. When conflicts and misunderstandings arise, and they will, the first inclination is to say, well, I don't need this. I'll leave. I'll find another relationship. I'll find another church that suits me. Well, go back to point one. There is no I church. In our culture, friendships are thought to be voluntary in character, so it's vulnerable at any point for dissolution if the relationship becomes burdensome or disagreeable. But brothers and sisters, Christ should be the antidote for that type of thinking. God has put us together in this local body, this place, Pathways. And this is the laboratory, if you will, that he has given us to learn how to work out relationships. Now, you have other laboratories, your marriage, parenting, friendships, living on campus in a dorm room with people you don't know. All of those are laboratories where we are supposed to learn how to work out our relationships. You know, years and years ago, I dated a young man who truly, truly, truly believed that relationships should just, how did he put it? Relationships should just kind of flow. Relationships should be kind of just easy. And there shouldn't really be any stress or tension in a real relationship. Okay, so I'm going to ask you, has anybody here experienced a long-term relationship or in a long-term relationship? Could you raise your hand if you're in or have experienced a long-term relationship with anyone? Okay, let me ask a question. Are relationships flowing and just kind of easy? That has not been my experience. In fact, that was not Peter. That guy is long gone. He is not someone that is in my life anymore. It's kind of crazy, actually, when you think about it. But you can't really blame him for thinking that, because that's really what the world says, that relationships should be easy, and if they're not, then you just ditch it and you go on to the next one. If there's stress or problems or disagreements, you can just easily dissolve it. You don't have to try to resolve it. That's not how it goes. Relationships are hard. Relationships between two selfish people, which includes all of us, trying to come together in unity, requires love, requires clear communication, requires boundaries, requires respect, and tons of never-ending compromise. And even with the best of intentions, there's still going to be misunderstanding, and there's going to be hurt. So imagine, if you will, for just a moment, if it takes all of the things that I mentioned, plus much, much, much more, to maintain a healthy relationship with one or a few people, how much more effort would it take to maintain a relationship of unity with a church, with the number of people that belong to this body called Pathways? It takes work. It takes effort. People disappoint. Not intentionally sometimes, and sometimes very intentionally at others. But this is what we're called to. These are not my suggestions. This is what God has called us to. And if you are a member of this church, then God has placed you here. He has given you a purpose. He has given you a gift that you are to share to help build up the body, that you are to exercise in healthy ways to build all of us up so that we all can become mature. But just not maturity for the sake of head knowledge and being mature, for the purpose of going out into a lost and hurting world. And as we grow and mature in our relationship, we are to tell others to help them grow and mature, to tell others to grow and mature, and tell others to grow and mature. And that's how the body works. God could have done it, I'm sure, a much easier way than using us to be the hands and feet in a lost and hurting world. But this is our calling and this is our charge. He's called us to grow up, to be like his son, to grow in his image, and that's the goal. It's hard, it's messy, but the rewards are eternity. So family, it's not about you, it's about community. Let us pray. Father, your word is hard, and you expect a lot out of us, and that's hard. And sometimes I don't want to bind my heart with other messy people. Father, sometimes it's easier for me to just come in, get my fill, and go. It's hard to talk to that relative or that church member or that neighbor who I don't even think I like, much less call to love about you. So, Father, as your word says, we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And I know that that means that I don't have to keep asking you for eternal life. That is settled. But it does mean on a daily basis that I have to ask you to change me, to change my will and align it to yours. And you're not just calling that for me, you're calling that for all of us. Help us to see things the way you see them. Help us to see people as you see them. Give us your heart, Father. And we say this all in your Son, Jesus the Christ's name. Amen.